Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, "This message is for you." Come on, I don't think everybody did it. Maybe you ought to look at your other neighbor and say, "No, really. No, really. It's for you." If you have your Bible, open them to Isaiah chapter 41. Are you ready? Isaiah chapter 41. I'm going to start in verse 9, and it says this: "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not." Your Bible probably says, "Fear not." Fear not. Come on, you ought to say it with me. Fear not. "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you, worship team. Give the worship team a hand this morning. You know, lots of times in text and in scripture, we see this, what the Lord says, and this necessarily isn't an ingredient of what God is trying to help us get over this thing we call fear. But he doesn't necessarily give us steps and ingredients to get over it. But what I love about the text, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you." I love it in the text there because he's saying, hey, you've seen what I can do. You can see what I'm doing, and you see what I'm going to do. And so because of all of that, it ought to build the faith on the inside of you. You may not know where it's going to come from. You may not see how it's going to happen, but just fear not, because I am with you. Amen. Come on, we just need to hear that this morning. Don't ask any more questions after this. God, you need to just say this week in our morning prayer at 6:30 on Facebook Live. One of the things that I try to do every day is just to be still. And that's hard to do after coffee and Diet Coke and Bang and, you know, I wake up in the morning ready to go, wound up tighter than a banjo string. But sometimes, how many of y'all know we need to just be still and listen to the Lord? Sometimes we just need to wait and say, "God, you're here. God, you're here." Rather than freaking out, rather than calling all my friends, and rather than jumping to conclusions, I'm just going to say, "God, I know that you're here." Now, how many of y'all out here, who here deals with fear? Let me just raise your hand. All right. All right. We got a lot of honest people. We got a lot of dishonest people. You're in the right place. I just want to kind of open up with this of some things in my life that's happened where I've been involved in fear. Because how many of y'all know when fear is working in your life, you make irrational decisions? Amen? I mean, if you don't believe me, just watch the news. But people can get very irrational. And a couple years ago, we were in Mexico, and we had drove from here. We went to Phoenix, we drove straight south, and we stayed at this nice, with some friends, in this nice big, I mean, it was a great big home right on the water, right on the beaches of Mexico. And we had all our kids with us, and we were having a big time. Well, we spent several days there on the beach and just enjoyed relaxing. And one day, we're sitting there, and Anson comes up and goes, "Dad, they're having banana boat rides, and a jet ski is pulling them. We ought to take the family." And I said, "All right." So we go out there. Well, Ketch is only 2 years old. And I said, "Do you have a life jacket for the little one here that he can go out into the ocean with us?" And he said, "Yeah, I got one. And I promise you it'd fit Jeff McElreath." Jeff's just a little bit bigger than I am, so I'm just telling you, Ketch is 2 years old. There's no way. And I mean, it is. Swallowed this little boy up, and I thought, well, it's a banana boat. I've been on a banana boat before. There's going to be people on this side, people on this side. Well, we go out into the ocean there, and this wave takes us out. I mean, takes us completely out. Well, I had Catch right here, 2 years old, and he's in this life jacket. Well, Brandy is in front of me. Now, mamas, how many of y'all have ever been in those moments where you freak out because of your kids? All right, you don't help nothing, but maybe it feels better for you to scream and, you know, act irrational. And so, Pastor Brandy, she just begins to scream, and she looks right at me. Catch is literally right here in my hands, and I have his head above water, and he's smiling. Because, hey, he loves the water. I mean, even though it's salt, I mean, it's coming in his eyes, but he's like, hey, this is so fun. Because how many of y'all know fear is trained? That's a point. You ought to write that down. Fear is trained. I can put spiders inside of, you know, little Ace's deal there, and he'd probably play with them. Oh, he's only going to be afraid of spiders when mama goes, ah, spider. How many of y'all know fear is trained? I'm going to tell you right now, fear is trained. And so he's having a big time. Anson's up in the front. He's screaming. You know why he's screaming? Because his mama's screaming. And his mom is freaking out. And I said, Pastor Brandy, I didn't say that. I said, honey, shut up. Come on. And y'all had them intense moments with your spouse. Well, where's the baby? I said, he's right here. I mean, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where's the baby? He's right here. No, where's the baby? And I just threw him at her. He's right here. Because how many of you know you get blind when you get scared? You get irrational when you get scared. And she was freaking out. I don't know if she had watched Jaws too many times and we're out in the ocean going to get eaten by a shark. I don't know, but you know what? Hey, we were fine, and I was floating. I had that baby out in front of me. But because of her fear, it caused everybody else to feel uncomfortable. That'll preach. Come on. All it takes is one fearmonger in your home to freak out the whole herd. Those of you that are parents, I'm telling you, it's very important. I'm so thankful for my raising. I'm so thankful. I'm telling you, my father, he is so laid back. And I get a lot of that from him. And Pastor Randy all the time, she goes, nothing bothers you. I said, no, that's just how I was raised. We're not going to be worked up about some things. Aunt Donna, is my dad that way? He's just so laid back. And so what my point is from that story is because of one, it caused everybody to feel uncomfortable, but also two, it began to make her think that she was blind to some things of the reality of really what was going on. But how many of you know fear will put you in a place to worry about something that will absolutely never happen? Here's another great example as well. So that was like a physical thing. Here's another thing. Back June 2020, we're having church. Not many churches are open. We're inside the building here. We're having church. People have decided to meet outside. We had an AM/FM transmitter out there for people out there. Well, no bones about it. People started testing positive in the church. I can't tell you how many times laying in bed at night, I got the call, Pastor, I tested positive for the coronavirus. And every time I would say, let's stand in faith. And I will be honest and tell you right now, the ones who stood in faith had mild to little symptoms. But the ones who were fearful and scared, I'm telling you, it wiped them out. I'm telling you. And maybe the ones that were standing in faith, they may have not just told it, but they weren't coming off the rock of faithfulness. But anyways, I got this call from the city department. Are you Travis? Yes. Are you the pastor of Arena of Life Church? Yes, ma'am, I am. She goes, I just want to let you know that today I've had such and such, I forget what number it is. I think it was like number 11 in the last 2 weeks of people that's came to your church. Okay. Well, they tested positive for the coronavirus. I said, okay. She goes, sir, I'm just going to tell you right now, you need to shut your church down. And you need to have people come in. You need to clean everything. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. How do you know they got it from the church? Well, they put that they've been coming to church. Well, they put on there that they had been to Walmart. Yeah. Did they put on there that they've been to family functions? Did they put on there that they had been to Target? I mean, that's what blows me away from all of this. This is rules for fools. How can you say that you got it from one particular place? You could have got it from the mailman who was standing out on your front porch. Or the UPS man in brown in his cute little shorts. You could have got it from him. But all of this, how many of y'all know all of this was irrational? And she began to tell me, no, you need to shut the church down. And I said, ma'am, it'd be a cold day in hell before I shut the church down. If we walk in like the walking dead, we're still going to have church. There's four people here. We're still going to have church. She said, sir, you're crazy. I said, well, I've been called worse. 2 hours go by. Caller ID, Austin, Texas. You Travis Bennett? Yes, I am. You the pastor of Arena of Life Church in Amarillo, Texas? Yes, I am. Well, I am from the State Department of Health, and I hear that you gave my lady a hard time. And I didn't give her a hard time. I mean, I may have joked around with her a little bit. That's how I cope, guys. I mean, that's how I cope. It's a little sarcasm. And she says, well, excuse me, do you not believe we're in a pandemic? And I said, ma'am, let me tell you what I believe in. I believe in Jesus, the Bible, my mama, my 1911 45 ACP, and the Constitution of the United States of America. That was not the right thing to say either, by the way. And she goes, well, she began to put this blame game on me. What if grandma, what if so-and-so dies because of you? And you know what? I visit with her back and forth. Pastor Brandy's sitting in the seat next to me. I'm talking on the Bluetooth. And y'all, I did get in the flesh. I ain't even going to lie. You can judge me if you want to, but I asked the Lord for forgiveness, and he forgave me. And this is how I said it. I said, ma'am, is this phone call being recorded? Well, yes, I told you that it was being recorded. And I said, well, I want you to play this for everybody inside of your office, and go ahead and put Governor Abbott on the phone. You can kiss my Texan rebel hiney. All right? Hate me if you want to. I don't care. But I'm telling you, you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to put fear in me. And then, I'll be honest with you, even though I was standing in faith, when I was laying in bed that night, I began to think to myself, oh my gosh, they're going to come and take me. I felt like Superman at one time, but here they come. How many of y'all know that's what the enemy does? Even when you take a stance of faith, I'm telling you, the voice of the enemy is always going to be fear. And just like that, what happened with Pastor Brandy on that boat, and just like what happened to me on that phone call with the state and the city department, I told her, I said, you know what, you have statistics and you have facts, but let me tell you something, I have faith, and I'd rather live in faith than live in fear. And I don't want you to leave here thinking that I'm careless and that I don't care, because I do. And I think all of us need to use wisdom, but I'm telling you, wisdom is not being pushed down your throat, fear is being pushed down your throat. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying that. I've never said that. In fact, I made a comment on a page this week, and things that people came at me of what I said had nothing to do with what I said. But we all deal with fear. We deal with the what ifs. How many of y'all know, laying in bed at night, the enemy will come to you and say, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? And how many of y'all know when it's the what if, it never happens? And honestly, you can have rational fear that is good. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, when I was kids growing up, y'all might remember the T-church if you were raised in church, but it was no fear, no fear. And it said N-O fear, K-N-O-W fear. And then it said K-N-O-W fear, like no fear, no fear. Meaning you have the fear of the Lord, you won't have fear of tormenting from the enemy. And so there's rational things that we can have. We can have rational fears for things. Like if you're on the edge of the cliff, step back, right? I mean, if you're, while you're driving, you can have a fear of particular things that's going to save your life. But 9 times out of 10, when it is a spirit of fear, it's because it's irrational. It's the fear of the unknown. It's fear of losing something. important to us, or even losing someone important to us. It's losing control. I will prove through all of this that even marriages break up because of a spirit of fear. Because a man has to control his wife so much that he's afraid that he doesn't love him the way that he loves her. He won't let her go to the gym. He won't let her have a job. He won't let her do anything. It's a spirit of fear, and it's control. I probably struck a nerve, but I don't care. The future, it's fear. People get scared because it's the fear of the future. And how many of y'all know it's irrational? If you lay in bed thinking, oh, I wonder where I'm going to be at in 5 years, I'll remind you of Psalm 34 this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, he's going to work it out. He fights the battle for you and me. But also, too, we have fear in our life today because of information overload. Corey has my phone. But how many of y'all know we know way too much about stuff that ain't even true? I mean, I'll just tell you, I mean, just this week, I saw Amarillo put out a deal on the vaccinated, the unvaccinated. But since August 1st, 150 people hospitalized. Now, how in the world has there been right on the dot 150 since August 1st? I'll tell you why. Fear. They're bending things to make you fearful and scared. I don't believe it. In fact, if you believe that, I'll sell you some oceanfront property in Canyon, Texas, right now. You want a log cabin? You want a trailer house? You want a Victorian home? Come on, we'll make it happen. But I'm here to tell you, we're on information overload, and we know way too much about things that are going on. And so it puts us in fear of our health. It puts us in fear of our economy and our job. It puts us in fear even for other people that are in our life. And I just want to paint a picture to you, just like if you have a kid that's afraid of the dark, what do? You walk into the room, you turn the light on, and you expose what he thinks that he's afraid of in the dark underneath the bed. You expose that it's not true. And what I want to do through the Word of God is expose what the enemy is doing in your life if you're operating under a spirit of fear. All right? So this is what I'm going to do, talking about unafraid, smear the fear. I'm going to talk about how fear works and how we can combat it. You know, so this is what we're going to do is turn the lights on. 2 Timothy 1:7, if you have your Bibles, go there. It says this is a great passage of text. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power. And of love. Everybody say love. Everybody say a sound mind. And I believe right here this is an ingredient. Not like Isaiah 41. He says, fear not, for I am with you. He's just telling us not to operate in fear because he is God and he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'll be with you and I'll fight battles for you. But I believe there's an ingredient here. There's power, there's love, and there is a sound mind. I've taught this for many years, and the Lord's already shown me some great things to share with you. But today I want to talk about how fear works. The first thing you need to know, fear is not from God. If you're operating under a spirit of fear of the unknown, of what can be, of what could have been, or what if, I'm here to tell you that's a spirit of fear, and it is not from God, it is from the enemy. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let me tell you what fear will do in your life. It will steal from you, it will kill you, and it will destroy you. And so in this particular text here, Paul is writing to this young pastor, the pastor of Ephesus, a great place and a great place of ministry. And he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. At this particular time, they're under huge prosecution, but he's saying, God did not give that to you, but I'm telling you of some things that can come against that. It's power, it's love, and a sound mind. If you have your Bibles, open them to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. In verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What you need to know about this book of Ephesians, in the church of Ephesus, he talks about many different things all through Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And all of those things are important. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about that we were dead in sin, but God who is rich in mercy. How many of y'all know we were like the walking dead, but God who is rich in mercy came and rescued us out of the pit. In Ephesians 3:16, he said, I will grant unto you by your rich treasure and glory, strengthen you, reinforce you with might to your inner man, the Holy Spirit himself to your inmost being and personality. Then he said that you would know the height, the depth, the length, the width of love. So many good things in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But when he gets to chapter 6, he says, finally, my brethren, this is the icing on the cake. This is the cherry on the sundae. This is what's important. And if you don't get this, you won't get 1 through 5. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He didn't say be strong in the world and in the power of its might. He didn't say be strong in the family member. He said be strong in the Lord. I'm telling you, when you're strong in the Lord, you will operate under the power of the blood of Jesus. When you're strong in the Lord, you'll remember what he did on the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you're strong in the Lord, nothing goes over what this has to say right here. And then he goes to verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, wiles. This word wiles, it means the word this in the Greek. It is methodios. And it comes back to the English word method. That's where we get the word method. It's a compound word. So when you have these two words together, meta and odos, it comes to the word methodios. But meta means this, with. Odos means this, a road. So methodios here, he said, come against the wiles of the devil. He has said, come against with a road of the devil. That odos, we could also see odometer. So what he's saying is when the devil comes to attack, he doesn't come down lots of roads. He comes down one single avenue of attack. Get this morning. He doesn't come down tons of roads. He said the wiles of the devil. He's saying, I'm telling you, the world would think that he's coming from every direction, but he doesn't know how to come in tens of directions. He only knows of one road down to come down. And I'll tell you what it is. It's fear. It's a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of Jezebel in the earth today. There's a spirit of the Antichrist in the earth today. But I'm telling you what is rampant and what the enemy uses more than anything else is a spirit of fear. And it's a road, and it's a road that he likes to go down because he's comfortable in it, and it's only one road. It's a single avenue of attack. He has an ultimate destination. What's the destination? Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul here, he's talking to the church at Corinth. Lots of nasty things are happening in this particular place. And he says in chapter 2, in verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We've already seen the wiles of the devil is with the road. How does he go down the road, or what is the destination of the road? We see it in this word devices. This word devices is the Greek word naomata, and it's translated back to the English the word noose. Everybody say noose. Noose means this. It means brain or intelligence. It means the brain or intelligence. It means this word naomata, the devices of the or be ignorant of his devices, it means be ignorant no longer of a normal mind. It means a mind that has become confused and believes a lie. It means mind games. We are not ignorant of the mind games that Satan tries to pull on us. So we see the word with a road. We see that with a road down one avenue of attack. It is to your mind. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all know fear is in your mind? I ought to see every hand raised. Fear is in your mind. If you don't know that, it's in your mind. So going back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, he says the wiles of the devil. We also see something important in this particular word. We see with a road. We see that it's to the mind, the only road to the mind, the word devil. This is not in the Greek. This is translated of not somebody's name, but this is translated of a job description. And this word devil, diablos, it means this. Dia, two words together. Penetration all the way through. Balos means to throw something repetitiously. So we get the word, the wiles of the devil, down a road to the mind or to our intellect by the devil, who is one who pounds and pounds and pounds away, throws over and over and over. How many of y'all know this is how the enemy works? He puts something in your head, but he doesn't stop there. How many of y'all know he doesn't stop there? My cousin Randallion, he used to say, hey, let's go do this. And he would poke me in the shoulder. Wouldn't he? He'd poke me in the shoulder. He'd say, let's go. I don't want to go. Come on. Chicken. Cock. How many of y'all know when you get poked in the shoulder enough, it begins to hurt, and you just give in and do it? Can I tell you, that's what the name of the devil means, to poke and 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 to poke. To throw and 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 to throw. To pick and to pick and to pick and to pick and to pick. And you've picked so much, you've thought so much, that the thing that what is what if, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, it will become reality in your life. I'm showing you this is how fear works. This is how the enemy works. Come on. There's no way you're going to get the job. There's no way you're going to get the job. There's no way. No, I'm going to get the job. Standing in faith. No, I'm going to get the job. I'm going to get the job. He says, no, I don't care if you're in faith or not. You're not going to get the job. So-and-so is going to get the job. They're going to find this and your record, and they're going to look back, and they're going to see all of this. And next thing you know, you start going, I'm not going to get the job. How many of y'all know this is how fear works? What I saw many times this year, my pinky toe. Then you're standing in faith. I'm speaking against this pinky toe, whatever this growth is. They're going to have to remove my pinky toe. What am I going to? I'm going to be imbalanced without my pinky toe. I wonder if it's COVID. Somebody told me this week, they said, I tested positive for COVID. I'm like, what's your symptoms? I got a runny nose. I must have it too. How many of y'all know the pollen's up in Amarillo, Texas? I'm just trying to tell you, use a brain, because the devil will say, you have COVID, you have COVID, you have COVID, you have COVID, you have COVID. And you say, no, I don't have COVID. No, I don't. No, I don't. But here, let me tell you something. It's with a road. He only knows one road to go down, and it's called fear, right here to your mind. And it's Diablo. It's a job description right there to penetrate. How many of y'all know water, as innocent as it is, if it drips enough, it'll go through concrete? Drip, 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 drip. You know what the enemy will try to do? Drip, 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 drip. Drip about your kids. Drip about your health. Drip about your finances. Drip about your protection. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? Drip about your marriage. She doesn't love you anymore. Oh, did you see that little thing? Did you see the way that she looked at him? Come on, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. This is how fear works. I'm going to show you some ways, but you need to see this is how fear works. He only has one avenue of attack, and it's with the road, and it's to your mind. He doesn't lie just once, but again and again. Then he changed it up. He disguised it in a voice. He might even disguise it in a voice of a lady that you respect and you honor. And because of something that she said, you twist it. And the enemy uses that voice to talk you into the garbage and lie that you've already had. I'm telling you, the enemy, he's sneaky. And then we meditate on it and we think on it. I want to give you an example in James. If you would go with me, James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, he's talking to believers here, and he's waiting. And these believers here, they're waiting and they're believing. How many of y'all know when you wait and you wait long enough, sometimes it's easy for you to get out of faith? I've been waiting for this healing. And I'm telling you, that's the voice of the enemy telling you that there's no way you're going to get out of this. I've seen people wait for 5 months. I've seen people wait for 5 days. But in that waiting, the enemy is a wolf, and he will find the weakness in your life to attack you. That's why it's so important that we stay in the house of God and we stay strong. That's why it's so important that we stay in the Word of God and we stay strong. I can always point out a wolf. A wolf will grab somebody and bring them off by themselves and pick on the hurt that they have inside the church. That's a whole nother story. But here's people that have been waiting and they've been believing. And he writes to them and he says this in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted. This word tempted here is not what we think the word tempted. In fact, it's not even same word as temptation in chapter 12, where it says, "Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord hath promised to those who love him." This word tempted here means to beat a clay vessel till there's no longer but dust. They're saying this: God, we've been waiting and we feel like you've destroyed us. And they believe that because these people were Jews and they had not seen the side of Jesus where Jesus revealed things about the enemy. These Jews always believed whether it was good or it was bad. We read this in the book of Job that whether it was good or bad, it all came from God. Can I tell you? Bad comes from the devil and good comes from God. God don't give you cancer. God don't give you COVID-19. God don't kill. The enemy comes to destroy. Come on, some of y'all need, well, God just needed him. He needed more wings up in heaven. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says that crap. I can't say crap, can I? Whatever, I just did. Garbage. I'm telling you, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, how many of y'all believe me this morning? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal. So it goes on. It says, "It's tempted, and I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." You know what this picture is? This is a picture of fishing. Of when you throw the lure out there and you play with its mind. Oh, it looks good. Isn't it sexy? You want to take it. Everybody else is doing it. Go ahead and take a bite. Literally, this is a fishing. What he's telling right here, you study this in the Greek, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed." This is like using fishing terminology of a fish going after the bait. Then he goes on, "Then he that lust hath conceived." It's like sex. This is exactly what this conception means. How many of y'all know you got to be close to somebody to conceive a child? I know this was a man who wrote this because he talked about fishing and sex at the same time. Amen? But he conceived. But just think about this. You have to be close to somebody. "It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Let me tell you, this is exactly how fear works. These are people that have believed and waited. And what the enemy did is with a road, he got into their mind and said, "It's the enemy who's doing this. I mean, it's God who's doing this to you." It's with a road, and it got inside of their head. And Diablo, he pushed and he pushed and he pushed and he pushed till they took the bait and it conceived inside of their heart. And he's riding against that. Pastor, you've told us how fear works, and you see how fear works. Are you clear on this is how fear works? It's inside of your mind. But I believe this, and I'm going to be preaching on this power, love, and a sound mind of how we combat fear. But can I give you the first and foremost thing that you need to leave here with this? Mark 11, 22 and 23 works both for good and evil. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus said this, he knew this because the enemy knows Scripture. How many of y'all know the enemy uses Scripture? If you don't believe me, just study when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit and he was tempted in all three ways that we are. The Bible says in Hebrews, but he didn't give in to any of them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But the enemy came at him with Scripture, and what did he do? He came back. See, that's what the enemy voice will do. He will justify Scripture to fit the fear that he wants you to have. And so, Mark 11, 22 and 23. This scripture right here, I'm telling you, this ought to be big in your home. Especially in 2021. Because this not only works for faith, but this works for fear as well. It says in verse 22, "Have faith in God." You know what the Greek says? It says, "Have the faith of God." Come on, how many of y'all are in here this morning saying this? I'm going to leave here to have the faith of God. Go ahead and stand to your feet this morning because I'm ending right here. This is the way that you can combat fear, Diablos, the devil, the enemy. And it goes on in verse 23. So we're going to have the faith of God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I'm going to prove to you something this morning, and I want to show you something. This work both works for faith, and this works for fear. You could read it like this, fear, if we're putting in the text of fear. It says, have the fear of the devil. Whatsoever, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, shall believe those things that he says, which he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Listen, the enemy tries to penetrate. Did you get that this morning? He penetrates and he pushes 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 and he pushes. And what happens is you begin to believe the lie. And when you believe the lie, you begin to say it out of your mouth. See, it starts right here, but how many of y'all know for it to get out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs issues of life. How many of y'all know more than anything, you've got to guard your heart? I tell Addison every day when I drop her off at school, honey, guard your heart. Because the issues of life come from the heart. And in this particular text right here, for it to start right here, how many of y'all know he's playing mind games with you? He plays mind games, and what he's doing is he's trying to believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it. And you know how he gets you to believe it? When you say it out of your mouth. The only way it can get from here to here is through here. It's one thing to think it. It's a whole nother thing to say it. Come on, I'm going to say that one more time. It's one thing to think, it's a whole nother thing to say it. Because when you say it, you believe it. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too ugly. I'm not good enough. I'm sick. I love it this week. I had somebody text me and say, I have these symptoms. Oh, that fired me up, because I see faith's getting inside of somebody. I might say I have symptoms, and I may tell that. I tell Brandy, I've had symptoms of this, because I've learned if I say I'm sick out of my mouth, get ready to be sick, buddy. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you to be stupid. If you're running 103, 104, go to the doctor, because fear can put you in a place that of such fear that you don't go because you're afraid of the results of what they're going to tell you, and then you just get worse. You got to use wisdom. But you see something, this scripture works for both faith and for fear. See, I'm going to be at a place of faith where I'm going to say, you know what, I have these symptoms up here. I have these symptoms of a runny nose. I have these symptoms of a marriage. I have symptoms of fighting. I have symptoms of neglect. I have symptoms of betrayal. But you know what? Out of my mouth, I'm never going to tell my spouse, I want a divorce. Come on, marriage. Come on, married people out there. Don't ever say it out of your mouth. Don't ever say that crap out of your mouth. I said it twice. Lord, forgive me. Pastor Luann's watching. Sorry. I love you. Don't ever say it out of your mouth. Don't ever say, I'm going to lose. That's what the enemy wants. It's down a road, and it's to your mind. And I'm telling you right now, if you say, I'm going to lose, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready to lose. But I'm telling you, death and life is in the power of the tongue. I had somebody come to me last week. They told me all the problems that were going on. And I said, you want me to connect my faith with yours? That my dog left me. My wife don't look at me no more. I hadn't been feeling good. I got cancer. I mean, it was negative, negative, negative. I said, you want me to connect my faith with yours? God, I pray he keeps cancer. I pray that his wife just keeps on going down the road. Is that what you want me to pray? No. I need you to come to me in faith. The facts are these, but faith says this. Some of y'all think I'm crazy. I'm really not. I just believe the Word of God. I told you what I believe in. I believe in Jesus, the Bible, my mama, and the United States Constitution. Come on. The enemy will have you to believe we're going to hell in a handbasket. But I'm here to tell you, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? The economy may look like whatever, but He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will say to the Lord that He's my refuge and my fortress. It's in Him that I'm going to put my trust. You guys get anything out of the Word this morning? Come on, Mark 11, 22 and 23. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, and it will be done for you. Come on, say, it'll be done for me. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in here this morning, and you say, you know what, Pastor, fear's overtaken my life. I can honestly say with all confidence that there's been a spirit of fear that has come over me. I want to deal with that this morning. Who is that? Just lift your hand. It's a spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. Where are you? Just lift your hand. Be bold this morning. Lift your hand. God, I pray for these that have their hands raised in boldness. God, I pray for them. God, I pray right now that they begin to say into this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Lord, I pray that as they've seen this morning how the enemy works, I pray, God, that you would, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I pray that they would speak to that mountain. I pray that they'd speak to that sickness, that they would speak to that season in their life. I pray that faith is built up and fear is cast down. I pray that light enters right now in Jesus' name into these dark moments. God, do a miracle. 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 Fear, go. Fear, go in Jesus' name. Fear, go. I cast you out. Get out of here. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.